Can I just take a leak in your cereal real quick?
Shot to the heart!
And I can tell you, Rich certainly was telling me on the way out the door, he goes, I really hope tomorrow at least three different men give me a pressed fruit bowl in the glass. He said that. He said those exact words.
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. And thank you, Christian Arcan. That was right after I gave him a nice midnight express on the window of the Fenway studio last Friday.
That paid off.
No. I mean, listen, at least I've been working out. You got to see the goods. It's Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. Stiz in the other room producing the show in a freshly shaven Jackson, who's been telling me about the conquest of his dating app. I have to tell you, I'm a little bit jealous. Congratulations, Mr.
Boy.
Jackson. Good well job, Jackson. Done. Boy, nice. It is a different world we live in, man.
Get him,
different
Tiger.
World, baby.
It is. I can't even just the access to hookups instantly with a phone. We used to have to do a thing called work at it and have skills in the bars. You got to get your chops up, kid. I guess not. Not you have to do any of that anymore. Well, you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. That is our favorite way to get in contact with you is over the phone. We like having a conversation. We're good to our listeners. We appreciate that you call us, even if you are Stephen the truck, and we sometimes have words with each other.
Stephen Fall River.
Stephen Fall is that it? Okay. Yeah. It's just always a Stephen the truck. And you can also listen to us on the Odyssey app, which is a great way to consume the show. You just press the little follow button, and the show gets beamed right to your phone. And also, you can launch us a take grenade by pressing that microphone there and leaving us a message, and we shoot those out in the 5 o'clock hour. Gentlemen, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
Excellent. Made it back from Canada without a car being stolen.
Okay.
Great food up there. They are buzzing. It is sad when you go to a hockey market that's still alive.
Yeah.
Feel like awesome. The energy of what it would be like if the Bruins were still alive.
I gotta be honest. There is something awesome about having two potential rivals of the Celtics doing well, because hopefully it pisses off both teams. Mm-hmm. There's nothing but like the Knicks right now. If you're the Celtics, it's got to be killing you. And the fact that the Canadians are just killing it is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. Like, if your team is out, there's nothing I like more than an offseason that makes them get pissed at the success of people that are their biggest rivals. So in that way, it's a win.
And I'm starting to think the Knicks have a chance in the finals. I'm telling you, maybe it's the media, the mainstream media, which Jaylen Brown hates, that are winning me over. Yep. But you turn on ESPN and it's just a Knicks fan slobber fist.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean,
Stephen A. just gloating.
First time they get to the finals in over 25 years. So everybody's, you know, it's a big market team. I don't know. It's the brand is the brand. So I just think, but I think, I mean, really, the Cavs didn't put up any fight.
Oh, jeez.
I just think the two teams in the West are just on a different level.
Ted,
a different level.
I have some stuff to play for you later on, Ted.
I can't wait.
That is right in the level of everything you've been saying is wrong with a modern athlete.
Thank you.
All right? And and the Cavs proved it once again. I don't get this mentality. We'll get into it later. It really, when I saw it, I was like, damn, Ted is right.
Athletes are soft as poo, man.
It has really gotten to that point, but what do you say we talk about this disastrous weekend for the Red Sox, shall we? What happened there, Stiz?
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes. It's so wonderful to be back at home in last place. Stiz?
Two on, two out. The pitch is swung on and lined into right field, sinking down, caught, and the game is over. The Red Sox lose to the Twins 6-5, and they are swept by Minnesota at Fenway Park. Heartbreak for the Red Sox. So many chances, so many little moments that did not go their way. That is not what the Red Sox were looking for at all. Minnesota takes all three. Tying run thrown out at home plate in the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and Sports Happened is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. So after an embarrassing weekend at the office, Sox now back at the bottom of the standings, the AL East, a season worst, 8 games below 500, and even worse, the Red Sox are in town. I'm sorry, the Braves, rather, are in town with their best pitchers on deck, and 7 of the next 8 teams they play are monsters, all of them top 10 in ERA.
Mm-hmm.
And they blew a somewhat inspiring tarps off moment Friday night.
Did they ever?
And now it just looks embarrassing. You know, I saw that and I saw everyone going crazy, and I'm just like, oh, this could be the thing. But it was like now that they lost and they stink.
Well, it's Ted's fault. If Ted and Jackson were out in the middle of that, they might have won the game.
You know what? And, I feel bad. I wasn't there for him then. That could have been the turning point in the season, huh?
It could have been.
Red Sox lose to the Twins.
I was embarrassed for those guys afterwards because it was like, I remember, like, I think it was 2 years ago when it came out. I went to the screening of the Joker 2 movie that Folie à Deux, and there were like a bunch of guys dressed.
One of the worst movies ever.
Yes.
Right?
They were dressed as the Joker, and when the movie was over, they were so embarrassed that the film had sucked so bad.
It's horrible.
Like, it was like the same thing with these guys with the shirts off and it's done. It's like, we took off our shirts for this? Jeez, man. It was just a bad, bad weekend. At least Friday was somewhat entertaining, and then it, of course, all fell apart. Let's get to what Chad Tracy said about what happened. Let's take a look.
It's tough. Another great job battling back, putting runners on base, putting ourselves in position to tie or take the lead. Izzy hit the ball. It looked like it was going to be gone off the bat. The wind's kind of coming in, so it stays in. But it just, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
How many times has that happened? I mean, come on, run, guys. Run. Yeah. They think it's a home run, and they just stop there and staring at it. The way they lost these games, it's like they're finding – all kinds of different ways to lose. I mean, it used to, you know, the bullpen was saving them. Now the bullpen's falling apart.
What happened?
Brian Baios, his fluffer, he goes out there and gives up 2 runs in the first inning, it's never a game.
I can't tell whether Ted's a fan of the fluffer or not a fan of the opener. You know, for Baio, you're very conflicted on this.
If it works, sure, but it didn't work this
It works
last
for
time.
Him, but it doesn't work for the actual opener. The fluffer doesn't work.
Right. And you know what it doesn't work for this team is when you go down in a 2-0 hole. Like, you can't. This team can't get behind early.
Yeah.
They suck. They can't. They don't come back from behind ever. So I don't – look, if you got to do that to get your pitcher in the right frame of mind, then he's probably not long for the bigs.
It's funny, Ted. Alex Speer wrote an article in the Globe, which always has too many big words that I can't understand. But it was pretty funny for several reasons. One, he did have one good stat. And that was that if the Sox had merely been a .500 team at Fenway, they'd be tied for fourth best record in the American League.
Oh, yeah.
Just a .500 at home. But then Alex gave us this gem. The Sox did find some encouragement in Sunday's loss, chiefly in the form of 7 extra base hits. They're most in any home game this year. Their 2 homers also matched a season high at Fenway. And then he put in parentheses, the Sox are one of 2 teams in baseball, along with the Rangers, not to hit 3 homers in a single contest in their own ballpark this season. We should just give them all the credit.
Way to go.
Ted, you have been on top of this since last week. Now we seem to have mixed messages about when the unfairly named savior will come back, Roman Anthony. So, Ted, the team and the player don't seem to be on the same page, do they not?
They do not, which is it's interesting. You brought this point to our attention last week, and I think you're spot on. The more you kind of listen to it, the more you're like, yeah, I think there's something to that. I just think that there's a disconnect between the team and the manager and Roman Anthony and when he should be coming back. It feels as if the team thinks that he's good to go, where Roman is not so fast. So
yeah.
We have some audio of Chad Tracy. I believe it was when we talked to him last week and I asked him about the status of Chad Tracy. Just listen to how he kind of talks about the status update of Roman Anthony and his injury.
Nothing new with Roman other than to say he did re-see our specialist and also a second opinion. There's nothing, you know, as far as like new, like there's the healing is okay. Again, it's just going to be a matter of that motion swinging when he feels like he can do it. And we're going to wait until, you know, like I said before, it's sore. Like, okay, let's push through it. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to make sure that he can swing a bat and he's not having discomfort. Once we get to that point, then we can start to push a little bit more. But he's not swinging today. We're just going to take it day to day and see when we get to that point.
And there was also Chris Cotillo, I think, last week made a report and used the term pain tolerance.
Yep, right.
And said that Chad Tracy had mentioned something along the lines of that it was a pain tolerance issue. And also, didn't you say that Greg Hill got a tip from somebody?
He did, yeah. Scoop.
Yeah. And the scoop was that Roman Anthony had indeed torn the muscle in his finger, right?
That seems to be the discrepancy. Is it torn? Is it sprained? Is it strained? What's the degree of tear? You know, what does Roman think it is? What does the team think it is? Is he upset at the way it's being portrayed? That whole kerfuffle. And even on all that, you know, Lou was on this morning with Greg Maloney, with Greg Hill, and talking about the Roman thing, and he was bringing up Nomar And I think even if it is slightly torn, you can still have an athlete that has the team thinks he's soft or should be back sooner.
Yep.
Right? That should just play through this stuff.
Yep.
Because he talked about this with Nomar, where he was so paranoid about his hand, he would just complain about it all the time, and he was in his own head. So maybe that's the way the team feels about it. We're just speculating,
Can I just use that real quick as I know that Nomar story very well because it was actually used in Belichick talked about that specific injury when he got injured. He was only supposed to be out for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Like 4 months later, mm-hmm. Nomar came back.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. And he used that as a kind of example of why we don't talk about injuries, because you don't want to say when you're coming back. Because if you say, I'll be back in a couple of days, and then 4 months later, it looks 1,000 times worse. But, you know, that's maybe not relevant to what we're talking about. But the point is, these injuries with the hand are very particular. And I struggle with this because I could see whenever you swing the bat and hit the ball, like, the shock of the hitting the ball kind of reverberating through your hands and it not being real comfortable to swing the bat. So I can see Roman Anthony's part of it, but at the same time, the season's slipping away, and you can see why the team wants him to be out there, too.
So do you think that with this season, that they're being in such a bad spot right now and just being at the bottom of the trash pile, and it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of hope that they can get themselves out of it?
Three games out of my college.
27% Fangraphs odds, the best playoffs.
Isn't that hysterical?
It's crazy.
Awful as they are. But get ready, because as I was mentioning, this next stretch is tough. Like, I mean, they are facing some really tough teams. So we'll see in a couple weeks from now just how bad they are.
So they got the next five opponents. They got 15 games. The combined plus-minus wins for those five teams, they're plus 48 in wins. So they're playing the four out of the five teams have records over 500. So it's going to be the toughest stretch so far this year.
So would you rush back Roman Anthony, the guy that is your savior, the one that, as I said, unfairly,
yes,
all the pressure has been put on.
If you're Craig Breslow and your job's on the line, yes, Roman, get back in.
But if you're Roman Anthony, doesn't that piss you off? Because what if you aren't right? What if you feel that you aren't right? Are you rushing yourself back? And as a fan, do you want him rushed back? I actually don't know enough about these finger injuries to figure out whether or not, if he aggravated again, whether it would kind of almost like a concussion, it would just be worse.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how that.
But they're
how
not saying that. If they're saying it's a pain tolerance issue, they're not saying he could make it worse. Right?
That term whenever a team is trying to push somebody through an injury, and Ted knows this. I mean, pain tolerance is something that gets leaked out when they think that a player is being a P word.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they're just like, get out there and do your thing.
But I mean, they're putting pressure on him in subtle ways. Listen to specifically, this is a phrase that Chad Tracy used. This was over the weekend, the audio we just played, but just want to replay a part of what he said about the injury. Just listen about what he said when it comes to Roman Anthony.
When he feels like he can do when it, and we're going to wait until.
When he feels like he can do it.
Yeah.
When he feels like he can do it. Yeah, when he feels like he can do it. That's basically putting all of it on the play right there.
Well, it's a weird place right now for this team to be, because as I said, you already know that this team's not very good, and there doesn't seem to be a way out of it. And I just, the next couple of weeks, it's just going to get worse, and it's hysterical that they're only three games out of the wild card. It really is.
If they did swing a trade for one legitimate hitter, do you think it would make a difference?
Nope.
Like, they are losing a lot of close games. It's a very tough call.
Listen, I just read that stat. If they were 500 at home, they'd fourth in the American League. So maybe you just need one big bat, to clear the bases, because God knows they get on base a whole hell of a lot. They just are addicted to leaving them out there, guys stranded.
Byron Buxton, who we talked about Friday, hit a two-run homer, flipped the game around Friday night. Slayton, you know, they hit two-run homers, which helps. You have four home runs from your DH all year. Four. That is embarrassing. How does that happen?
It's almost impossible.
It is.
I know. And at Fenway.
Total.
It is.
Plus Fenway,
You know what the sad part is, though? Like, they had a problem with the DH last year. In the playoffs, Romy Gonzalez would play DH.
Yeah.
That was your DH in the playoffs last year.
Well, look at their infield now. They're platooning guys at third. I mean, you got the guy they traded for, Durbin, who's like, he and Sogard flip-flop based on who the hitter is. They're kind of putting Meyer at short, but they're not quite confident in him. They just have a big question mark in the infield. So I keep going back to Ketel Marte. One of the guys from the Herald, Max Cerullo, threw out Bo Bichette from the Mets. Because the Mets are one of the only teams as bad as you. They're 10 games under. They paid him a fortune for him. 3 years and like $140 million. They overpaid for him. Would you just, for 1 year, get Bo Bichette here? He can opt out at the end of the year. Pay him prorated $45 million just to inject some life into the team. And put him at short.
That's a kind of a quick fix, right? Is he a piece of a long-term plan?
He could be. You'd have to convince him to not opt out.
How many times have they had pressure to do something? They do it, and maybe it's an irrational decision, and it turns out to be a bad decision later. Ken, I want there to be a season. So, who am I?
Let's have a summer.
I would love for them to go do something. It's got to be a significant bat, though, right? Mm-hmm. It can't just be a minor upgrade. It's got to be a big bat that you get in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. And Nesson 360 keeps lowering their price.
Are they? Let's let it go.
I keep getting promos on my feed. As I'm going through, it's like the first 2 months for $5.
And then it goes up to $48.
And then it goes up to $8 million. It's like literally like $230 or $60 or something I paid for this season. It's insane. All right. 617-779-7937. Let's talk about them Knicks and the loser mentality of the Cavs. And Jalen and Stephen A. Smith has gotten hysterical. It really is too much fun. I hope it never ends because we've reached this really strange, surreal kind of meta version of what's happening now. And there's mob boss talk from Stephen A. Smith. It's lodge versus lodge. It's like media versus media now. Oh, strays everywhere. We'll get to all that right after this. I like his movies, but man, Timothée Chalamet just annoys me. He's everywhere during these Knicks games, just like with that girl who's just using him because he's famous.
Just, not true love?
No, it's like Kendall Jenner's just she's just a parasite on whoever's the most popular person at the time. And you can be big for a weekend. I remember when the Shaboozy song was like the biggest song, that tipsy song?
Oh, yeah.
Like all of a sudden, it's his big coming out party and he's playing at this, I forget what event it was, and there she is in the crowd sipping her drink. Oh, Shaboozy. And then like all of a sudden the next week he wasn't famous anymore, or he's still famous, but that song kind of fizzled out. So she goes to the next famous person and now she's with Timothée Chalamet. The parasite sucks again. And it's just, God, Knicks fan. I give people like Ben Stiller credit because he's always been there. I like him too. And you know what? Tracy Morgan's always there. And as annoying as Spike Lee is, because he thinks he's on the team, how they let that guy walk onto the court during a game is insanity.
Dude, Drake used to be that way with Toronto. I can believe it.
Drake does that. And Drake would like get into huddles and stuff with the team. What are we doing here? Even though Spike Lee does that, he does go to every game. So I'll give him credit. He's not like as much of a fake fan as like the Kendall Jenner parasite and Timothée Chalamet. Timothée Chalamet must weigh 70 pounds.
And he plays
like tough guys in movies.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong.
Dune, he's the man in Dune.
How are you the man in Dune? You're like literally like a stick figure.
You seem like a Dune guy, Ted. You would love like...
I thought the storylines are a little bit out there, but I do like it. Fantasy. I'm a big fantasy
Avatar,
guy.
Dune. Ted's
I do
out.
Like it. Yep.
Yeah. Dune was pretty good. I like
Dune 2.
The David Lynch one. The David Lynch one's awesome because it's just so wrong. It's like they tried to make him do a Star Wars movie, and David Lynch didn't want to do that. And they just
talking about the original?
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's so bad.
It's really freaking weird.
It's so bad.
Yeah, but nonetheless.
Did you gain any respect for Kelsey? Speaking of the courtside fodder, Travis.
No, it made me hate him even more.
Okay, good.
The way he's faking, I'm an everyman, look at me.
And like, he chugged a beer.
And so the chugging a beer, and it was like, and then people were getting mad that it said, Travis Kelce's fiance. Oh, wink. Get it? Oh, I hated that. And that was like everywhere, too. So-and-so is upset, or, there's people complaining that ESPN called it Travis Kelce's fiance. Yeah, like they didn't mean to do that.
How long does that last, that relationship? Oof. What's over under on a marriage?
5 years.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to end. It's going to end bad, I think.
When it ends, it's going to be the worst because there's nothing for him. Having her fans turn on someone is going to be
so true.
Hell to pay.
That's so true.
Hell to pay. I always thought it was so awful. She did like all of her boyfriends completely wrong. Like these guys that she dated, she'll write these songs about them that'll say these horrible things. And like these guys can't defend themselves. They don't have the audience that she has. What are they doing? Like Jake Gyllenhaal and all these other dudes who like date
John
her.
Mayer.
Yeah, John Mayer.
Right? She does all her own writing too, right? I mean, that's debatable.
I think that she is a songwriter. Okay. I'm not going to take that away from her. But she does have a lot of guest writers and a lot of people help her. It's a machine that has to keep moving. This is a very big, you know, it's an industry. The Taylor Swift industry is a very big thing.
I feel like that you go into a relationship like knowing that that potentially could happen, though. I mean, Alanis Morissette is famous for that, right?
Oh, with Dave Coulier.
Yeah, you're right, right?
She threw the dude from Full House under the bus.
Right.
But apparently he did some randy stuff, which is kind of wild. And if you listen to it, you ought to know.
Rossini put the playlist out. I mean, she did that on purpose.
You know, he talks tomorrow.
Yes, he does. I can't wait.
Vrabel talks tomorrow.
Will you go and ask him about the playlist?
So here's what I do. I was like, excuse me, Mike Vrabel, I just want to address the elephant in the room. You're really a fan of Styx? Like, you actually like the song Renegade?
If you give me a press pass, I'm willing to get kicked out of Gillette Stadium. Dude.
Stay on target.
Like, this is truly a song you put on one of your playlists? This is, like, not good.
Well, this is the Steelers.
I mean, he did get drafted by the Steelers.
I guess that's part of it. Sure. Right. I'll give him that. As long as it's
was trying to rekindle old memories. Maybe this goes back to his Steelers days. I don't know.
Maybe.
How old is she?
Because wasn't it all like a whole, let's turn this thing around? He had like lost three games as the head coach of the Titans.
The title of the playlist, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like turning things around. And it had her like pink song, you know, her I'm cheating on my husband pink song.
I'm sorry I brought this up. That's my fault.
Bad pivot. Oh, well, either way, let's talk about them Knicks, shall we?
Oh. A season that was filled with a lot of pressure. It was finals or bust. And they're headed to the NBA Finals. And Proctor will just dribble it out. Chance of let's go, Knicks. It's over. Yeah. Believe it, Knicks fans. For the first time in 27 years, the New York Knicks are going to the NBA Finals.
All right, cut it off. That's enough.
Is that true? Was it finals or bust for the Knicks? I mean, I don't remember. They
fired their coach. I mean, that was a bold move.
Yeah,
they did.
People love Thibodeau, and they were like, what? How dare you fire Tibbs? But this guy's been good.
He's been great. I mean, think about what they've done. They won 11 in a row. I mean, think about it. They were down 2-1 to Atlanta and then just went on a hell-bent, just absolute crushing run where they were up by 40 last night on Cleveland. And through three games, they just about doubled that Sunday night. It was total dominance. And you know what's so great about it, too, is that it's now for the first time, like you said, Ken, for the first time, because they're just they've obliterated these teams, that I'm thinking we might have a decent final.
Right.
Because I was thinking whoever ended up going out to the West was running into a buzzsaw.
And OKC's banged up a little bit.
Dude, it's a good point. I mean, they swept the Sixers. They swept the Cavs.
Yeah.
We're sitting here waiting for these two teams to beat the crap out of each other.
June 3rd. They're waiting till June 3rd. That's when the finals start.
I mean, they'll be a little rusty to start, kind of like they were, I think, in the first game against the Cavs in this series. But that is going to serve them well, all this rest they're getting.
It was a 19.4 average point differential that they had this postseason. It's the largest by a team entering the finals in playoff history. It even beat the 2017 Warriors, which is like 16 points. Yes,
you know who deserves all the credit, Rich?
Oh, of course.
They are...
Cursed! Oh, man. You gotta let it roll. That's when Danhausen, the wrestler, came onto the set, and none of the people knew how to react. They were just like, oh, yeah.
They are cursed!
Oh! Oh.
Is he lying?
Oh, man.
Why? Oh, man.
Sorry, Cavs.
Because we're here. No,
Danhausen came in and cursed the Cavs, and boy, they were cursed. All I know is that last night I turned on the game a little bit late, and I immediately
it was over.
But I saw James Harden launch up a three and then get lazy getting back on defense. And then it was just like a breakaway dunk.
Rich, they had 25 fast break points in the first half against Cleveland.
Inexcusable. That's effort. Like that's effort and lack of it. And that is the James Harden way.
That's embarrassing. Can I just a point I want to make on that is that you see the teams that are going to be playing in the finals are up tempo. It's not slow the game down, half court basketball like it's usually been in the playoffs. It's a different style of Celtics. You listen, it's a different style of basketball. Now they're being played in these in the last few years with the up-tempo pace that these young teams are showing out there.
But Harden wants to be back. Like, he's coming back. I mean, I see all these reports. They're going after LeBron. They're going after the Giannis. But Harden is not going. He's going to opt back in.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who's going to who's not going to want him back, and that's the fans after hearing what he said after the game.
Amazing.
So you embarrassed yourself. And not only just the team embarrassed themselves, but James Harden, the amount of times I saw him lob up a three, miss, and then fail to get back, and whether he put his hands up and looked at the ref or just jogged down to the other end, Brunson would lob one down court and they would make an easy bucket. It was embarrassing. It was all effort, and Harden was by far the biggest offender. But if you're a fan and you're watching that game, I mean, you probably turned it off at the half, as you probably should have. Mm-hmm. But if you heard him after the game say this, would you want him back?
No doubt that this group can get there. I've said that all year. I think the biggest thing is you just use it as a learning lesson. It's a tough learning lesson. Now we know, right? I mean, that's not how I like to say things, but you know what I mean? We know. Like, you know what I mean? And this team that we just faced had to go through this. Maybe not this way, right? But they've been together, they've been a core group and had to go through this tough experience. So it's our turn. I'm sorry for the city of Cleveland for it to be like this in a sweep. Like,
sorry, real quick. That's Donovan Mitchell. That's Donovan Mitchell. And Donovan Mitchell was great, right? Is that the Donovan Mitchell clip right there? Yeah, that's Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell was great. Donovan Mitchell, as a matter of fact, ripped into the team when they were down by a ton, mm-hmm. when the game was, they had lost. And Mitchell,
did
I saw him
doing his spider things.
Oh, yeah.
Those are so cool.
But he was screaming at his guys when all hope was lost. And Donovan Mitchell even said, this was ass. The city deserves better. Now play the James Harden one, if you don't mind, Stiz. I'm sorry.
I can't even answer that question, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was 4-0, but I don't think we had a chance as far as our best shot, you know, from a standpoint of the circumstances. You know, obviously they dominated us. 4-0, but yeah, I don't know if I can necessarily answer that question. Just because genuinely, I do feel like we are the better team. But you know, series wise, you know, it didn't show it. So tough question to answer.
You are the better team.
Wow, these guys cut themselves so much slack. It's unreal. They say this stuff. Kenny Atkinson said the analytics said, are you kidding?
He said he's a better team. That sounds a lot like this was my favorite season.
It's unbelievable.
You didn't just lose, you got embarrassed. You weren't the better team, you weren't even close to it. And you know what? And maybe it's just because the loser mentality permeates that Cavs organization because their coach, Kenny Atkinson, mm-hmm. before game four, said, I can't believe he said this. Matter of fact, when I read the quote,
that's embarrassing.
I had missed it the day he said it. I read the quote, I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of funny. And then I realized, oh, my God, he actually said this. This is Kenny Atkinson before game four.
Analytically, I think we've won the expected. I said 3 out of 3. We're 2 out of 3 in the expected. I don't know if you guys follow that. There's an expected score, you know, and we won 2 out of 3. And I know you're looking confused, but there is really, you know, if you believe in process and all that, like, man, I take that layer. Us shooting way below expected, them shooting way over. You know, and I know no one wants to hear that. I think you guys like hearing it. I know, you know, general public, no one wants to hear that. Everyone's outcome based. And, you know, sure, I get that too.
Analytically, they won 2 out of 3.
Is there a championship? You can put an analytic banner, a championship banner up. Because for the coach to say that and then Harden to say what he said, it's amazing how they let themselves off the hook.
We should stop being outcome based.
Yes, right. I saw somebody made a big banner and it said, congratulations, Cavs, analytically in the finals.
Seriously, it's embarrassing. The mindset has changed. The AA.
Is it generation or is it's generation. It's analytics?
It's both. Yeah, I mean, it's both. It's a way in which these players, teams, front offices, organizations, they don't, the pressure, it's their way of handling the disappointment is to say it's about the process. It's, you know, it's about the journey. It's not about, you know, winning, you know, championships. It's about trying to get there. That's the whole thing.
It's so like, it's like a mental health thing.
It is. That's what it is. It's a way in which they process it so that they don't feel like they're failures.
But the thing, but the problem is though, is that Ted, you know, sports fans are fairly smart. Like they can watch the game and they can figure out who's to blame and what was to blame for the loss. So if you just went up there and you said, I wasn't good enough, our team wasn't good enough, we just failed you as fans. It's over. Nobody. It's almost like the criticism stops. But you say we were the better team.
You are the better team.
Right. Everyone's killing you for an entire offseason. Like, who do you think you are?
It's a little like the Dan Duquette, we spent more days in first place than any other team in the league back
exactly.
in 2001. Yeah. But it's just like every team does it now. Like, you should study the Dan Duquette failure. And that should be part of your media training. Mm-hmm. Don't say this after we lose.
Yeah, right. And that's why I loved what Donovan Mitchell said. Like, Donovan was like, we were ass. He actually, I think, used that term. Like, we were ass. And, you know, this was not good enough. You know, hopefully we can continue to build, but right now that wasn't good enough. And that's perfectly fine to say. You can say, hopefully we continue to build, but, you know, this year that is not good enough and it's not good enough for our fans, because that ends the conversation. I don't understand, even mental health wise, why somebody close to them just says, if you want the noise to stop and you want to have a healthier offseason where you're not hearing it from all angles, just say that you stunk. And say
so
that it
easier.
Wasn't good enough. And it ends.
Mm-hmm.
There's silence but after that.
I don't mind hearing this kind of talk, this kind of language at collegiate and lower levels, because it's really at the end of the day, they're amateurs.
Yeah.
And they're not paid. These guys are paid to do a job. And yeah. I hear them talk like.
Well, collegiate level now has changed. I mean, does that change the way you expect a college athlete to talk with all this NIL money? I mean.
I hear what you're saying, but you have. I mean,
still, they're just
you're still
young.
A kid.
They're still kids, right?
Yeah.
It's still not theoretically their profession, even though they're getting paid. They're still, you know, it's not like it is in the pros. So I just think that's how you kind of tell your kids, you know, hey, it's about process, about getting out there and trying. Hell, it's gotten into the pros where they think the same way now.
Yeah,
my favorite season of my career.
You've got that. What? You've got Joel Embiid saying that, you know, this was like the best year that he's had. And right after they got him, once again, swept, embarrassed by the Knicks. You've got James Harden now saying that. But Kenny, you knew that James Harden was going to say something dumb, because it's never his fault. Wherever he goes, it's always somebody else's fault. Always is. And almost always, he's part of the major part of the loss.
Always.
But Kenny Atkinson, as a coach, you got to know better, man. You can't say, you know, analytically, we've won two of the last three games.
Is it a stretch, though, to think that?
It's all
maybe you would. That maybe I can hear Joe Mazzulla saying almost the same thing if he was, you know.
I don't think so.
You don't
I think?
Think?
I think he's much. Well, explain why.
I just feel like he's kind of he thinks similarly. Like he looks for the silver linings. He's an analytics guy. I don't know. I feel like sometimes he can let his guys off the hook too.
He did say something this year which I didn't like that much, because it seemed like a total lie, and that was that, you know, when we won the championship, I didn't feel good.
That's
when
what I was thinking. That's the
Yeah, that's the quote.
That's the quote that got him became a man.
And you're like, really? You didn't feel good when you won? I saw you flipping out like a madman being electrocuted when you were on that duck boat right there on Boylston Street.
But maybe fans are buying it. If this is the way younger generations feel, that they don't, it's not all about winning a one and done tournament. They want to feel good throughout the process. Maybe this speaks to the younger generation. I don't know. Are people buying it? Like, is it?
It's about the friends you make along the way.
Put up the Colts championship banner for winning the AFC. You know,
that's
place.
What it is. That's exactly what it is. It's an AFC finalist banner
right.
being hung.
Right.
Come on, man. You just can't do that.
I think the fans are. I mean, you look at the trending, the changes in how you cover teams. It's more Barstool. It's more about, you know, you there's nobody real hardcore reporters anymore that challenge teams and ask the tough questions. Mm-hmm. It's
only Jalen's Twitch.
That's it. But otherwise, there is a changing in, I think, mentality in the media and in fans about how we look at, you know, players and, you know, how they play the game and what should be accepted after losing. I just think it is shifting slowly, but, you know, solely to that.
I just think it's becoming easier to find those players that you want in the game in the final minutes. Like, it's the ones like Donovan Mitchell who, when you're down by however much you are, it's even though you know you're going to lose, it was let's not leave an embarrassment. Let's get out there and save some face, have some pride. And he's screaming at these guys, and then he takes accountability at the end of it. That's a guy you want on the floor at the end.
No doubt.
That's a guy you know that's going to give everything, because sometimes miracles happen. And you never know, that deficit could get erased. God, my God, we've seen the Knicks do crazy stuff for the past two postseasons. Mm-hmm. The Celtics last year up by 20 in two games, and the Knicks came back. Maybe it was their turn. And Donovan Mitchell, maybe he was thinking that, or maybe he was just like, I'm on national television. I ain't going out like this.
Well, that's
and
why,
I love players like that.
I do too. There's not many, though.
That's
many
why
anymore.
The Jaylen Brown evaluation is very tough. because when he says this stuff, he sounds not like one of those players. But when you watch him, he does play like a guy who gives it all both ends of the floor. He's not James Harden.
That's true.
He seems like a guy who is willing to stand up and take accountability and speak. Hell, he speaks every freaking day on this Twitch thing, and he's going after media members, so he's got fight in him. So is Jaylen Brown a core guy that you believe in and want to stick with? That's what they're dealing with right now.
Well, I mean, the Jaylen Brown thing is unique in that I don't know whether there's anybody out there who's willing to give the Celtics something that's as valuable as Jaylen Brown. I keep hearing of all these mystery deals and things coming up. Yeah. Like there's the new one with the Rockets, and is it Sengun, their big center that they've got there?
Would love him.
Who's very good. Yep. And his numbers this past year were excellent. And he's young, and he's up and coming, and he's just seems like he'd almost be perfect for what they're looking for. Is he Jaylen Brown, though? Nope. Nope, you're going to have to get a hell of a lot more than just him. And right now, the deals I'm seeing just don't seem to fit. I want to see some sort of shakeup. I would like to see some sort of difference. I don't want to go in and watch the same kind of basketball we've been watching for the past couple of seasons. I want to see some sort of different mentality, whether it's coaching or it's a different player in there that can shake things up in their style of play. But it's different. Because I don't think he's a loser. I don't. I think he says loser things after the game.
That's a good way to put it. Because he certainly does. I just think that's such a difficult trade. Like you want to, you know, both sides are going to want to look like they came out winners in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a difficult trade to pull off. I really do. So I don't see him getting moved. I really don't. And like we said all along, the easiest solution is change either the coach or the style in which you play.
Yep.
Instead of changing the players. That's not what Mark Stein's saying. Giannis wants to come here. Oh, boy. A lot of things happening.
Well, we will get to that. Also, we will get to Jaylen Brown versus Stephen A. Smith. It has reached a new level and an update on the all-drug Olympics that happened this weekend. I don't know if you guys watched the enhanced games.
That was worse than the Red Sox.
we will talk about the success of that right after this. Oh, is this a Teddy J pick?
Rich nailed that one, huh, Teddy?
Hell yeah. I like this song. I just always think of Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, the best. I don't want to dance after hearing this song.
I tried to show my kids, and they were just like, what?
Yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan. I didn't quite
really
get it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was
legendary.
Did not hit the mark with me.
You see, the first time I saw it, I was just like, dude, I don't know if I just saw one of the best movies I've ever seen. And I remember I like told a couple friends about it, and they're just like, dude, I'm not going to see that movie. Then they saw it, and immediately everyone was quoting it, like over-quoting that movie. And then I went back and watched, and in fairness, stepping away from about like however many years, 20 years it's been, and watching it again, didn't hit as hard.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids were just like, dude, what'd you just show us? The most heartbreaking, though, is that I sat them down. I was so proud. I was so happy. Finally, they had hit the age where it was perfect for them to watch Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
And I'm like, dude,
there we go.
You're about to have a religious mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. I think my oldest son was like 12 and the other one was like 9, and I'm like, perfect poo humor, like they're gonna love Jeff Daniels on the toilet. And I sat him down and I watched it, and at the end of it I'm like, God, what'd you think? Killed me inside.
Yeah,
the only movie that I watched him, it was a home run with them, was Zoolander. And because Zoolander, you want to talk about movies that hold up, Zoolander holds mm-hmm. up, still funny to this day. Cool. They did not like Ace Ventura, and neither did I the second time. It was funny.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Yes, that's right. Ace Ventura, the first time I saw it in the theater, I remember like dying laughing, and then I watched it with my kids. I'm like, yeah, this isn't very good. That one does not hold up. You know what does hold up? The enhanced games.
Oh,
yes, we've been talking about that all last week,
what?
Which was the all-drug Olympics. It's, if you don't know what we're talking about, there was an event this past Sunday night out in Las Vegas that apparently cost $1.6 billion to get this whole thing together. $1.6 billion they sunk in to this enhanced arena and the promotion of the deal, which is wild because I hadn't heard about it until like just the other day that they're going to be doing it. But if you tuned in to watch it, you'd have to watch it on YouTube or the Roku network. But there is a company called Enhanced. Now, Enhanced, what they were hoping was that you would watch the Enhanced Games, which was a competition amongst Olympians, some of the best in the sport. And what they would do is, for the weeks leading up to it, they were offered whatever steroids, what other peptides, any kind of Adderall, any kind of
stimulants.
They basically would give them a menu. They flew them out there weeks in advance, gave them a menu, and had doctors on standby and said, you can take whatever you want to get ready for this because our goal is to break world records and try to do it, quote unquote, safely. And so they got all these different athletes. It was in swimming, track, weightlifting, and strongman. Mm-hmm. And they brought all these people out there, and it was essentially athletes who had either been popped for stuff before, so there was no other way for them to compete in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Or
criminals.
Yeah, right, right. And so they all got them out there, and sure enough, the enhanced games, their whole thing was that if you break a world record, you're going to get $1 million. So after all of this, and they did all of the different events.
Did you watch all 6 hours?
No. I didn't.
I tried. I really gave it a try driving back on YouTube on like a stream, and I was like, I can't.
No. First of all, it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster in every way, shape, or form. It was the arena held like 2,500 people, and it was all like invite only, mm-hmm. and I maybe a third of them showed up.
Oh.
It looked empty in the place. They bring in only one world record was set. They were said they're going to like do like a ton of different world records. They're going to set them. Only one was set. And what was great was that it was for the 100 meter. The guy won it in 9.9 seconds, which is well below his. I'm sorry. That was
swimming,
not the world
right?
record. Swimming was the world record. But the guy who won in the 100 meter was 9.9 seconds, which was below his personal best that he did without the drugs. As a matter of fact, somebody found out that second place during the 100 meter got beaten by the top five high school athletes in Texas. like no one was doing well. As a matter of fact, I watched the mountain, you know, from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Try to do the deadlift.
He was the big draw.
He was. And he picked it up halfway up his calf and dropped it. And then they said, let's see if he can do it again. And, you know, you get like three chances. They gave him an extra one because he couldn't do it after three.
Brutal.
It was almost like in high school. They're like, give him another go. Let's see if he can do it to win it. And he went, rrr. Then the network shut down maybe like an hour into it. All of a sudden, like the connection was lost. It like collapsed.
It's a total disaster.
Dude, it was a disaster. And the best part of it, so the whole reason they did this was so you would go to, you know, the enhanced website and you could
start buying products.
You could buy all the products. Well, apparently this morning, because it was such a disaster, the stock cratered. For it was 14.
Well, the market's having a tough go of it overall. That's probably the reason.
The stock fell 40% after the enhanced.
Who's the guy that threw this idea out there?
It's all these billionaires put their money into this because they're like, hey, this is the new, like the pharmaceuticals, everyone wants to do their peak best. And what their whole dream was, you're going to have all these athletes come out there, crush the world's records and go, buy our stuff, baby. And everyone saw that literally only one guy set a world record. And by the way, three of the events, the winners opted not to take any of the drugs and they were perfectly clean and they won. So it backfired on them and the stock cratered 40% as of this morning.
Poor Peter Thiel.
Yeah, right. I think he was one of the billionaires behind it too. So, I mean, I don't really feel too bad about any of that. And by the way, the guy who set the record in swimming also...
The Greek guy, right?
Yeah. He wore like a banned skin suit that you're not supposed to wear anymore. So not only did he have tons of drugs, but he also had like a skin suit and just was barely able to break it. So yeah, it was in every way, shape, or form, the enhanced games was a disaster.
I mean, part of the, I think, is I didn't even, until you brought it to our attention, I'd never even heard of this thing.
Yeah. So
the promotion was horrible.
They didn't promote this thing at all.
I know. I had reached out to the guy, too, to come on with us and talk about it. And, like, their PR department's awful. They got back to me, like, 3 days late. Like they got back to me on Saturday, the day of the promotion. Just like, hey, would you want to talk next week? I'm like, it's over next week. Like, who's running this?
Seriously, wow.
I mean, the idea was awesome. Like, get all these people geeked up and out there and, like, you know, see how well they do. But it really, you should actually watch some of the highlights. It's really kind of sad. Especially when the mountain came out there. Like, he tried, but it was like, yeah, and then he drops. They're like, you know what? Let's give him one more shot.
The thing is, they want to prove that with using this, like, you can, but you got to train, like, you're an elite athlete. Maybe you're just doing, you know, these peptides, you know, a little bit before the event, that doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to go out there and break the record. You got to train for years and be prepared. It's like, it's not that, it's not just taking Dianabol and thinking you can go without any training and beat the world record. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was just like, it was great because he like picked it up and went, "Rah!" And then he got some smelling salts. He was like, "Let's do it again."
One more time for him. I know you're only supposed to get three, but here's a fourth one. The time that you're expected to do break that world record, you might just not have it that day. Your body just might be like, "Nope, not today, man."
Well, how many times have you like worked out and just been like,
all the time,
why don't I have it?
Dude, there's times when I played in a game, I'm like, "What am I? Wake up, Ted. Let's go."
Yeah.
And then sometimes where you don't feel good going into the game, and all of a sudden you feel like you could run all day.
Yeah, next level.
There's
almost no explanation. Do you ever try to figure out that math? Like, why is this not working?
That's the whole. You're always trying to figure out the sleep, the food, the eat, the preparation. You know, how do I get it so that I peak at the right time? That's constantly what you're thinking about all the time. So that's all you obsess over.
But the record breaker does get $1 million.
Oh yeah, he got $1 million.
So that's legit. I mean, one guy. I mean, maybe that keeps it going. Like, we'll try it again in 2 years.
They spent a lot of money on something that failed pretty bad. So, I don't know. We shall see. All right. 617-779-7937. Let's get to JB versus Stephen A. Smith, shall we? It got fun. There's a lot of mob talk. There's a lot of Stephen A. Smith going after other members of the media as well. And a proposal by Jaylen Brown to end it all. We'll get to that right after this.